In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
We lift that hands. I feel the glory of the Lord in this place. We worship you, Lord. Share with all we have. With all we have. We worship you. We lifted hands to him. We lift hands. We worship you.
Just bask in his presence. Close your eyes and behold Jesus. Intimacy is the height of worship. Just have a moment with your Maker. Have a moment with your love. Thank you, Jesus. tonight we have come, we ask for an abundant distribution of your grace. Touch every life here. Thank you for your presence. Speak to our hearts and may we never leave this place the same. Bring everyone under the atmosphere of your presence and in direct contact with your glory. And above all, we vow to give you the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Wave your hands to Jesus.
We worship.
Hallelujah. Welcome to Pneumatech. This is Grace Sunday. And I know it's going to be an overflow of the grace of God in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please shake the hands of one or two people by your side before you sit down. Don't do that and sit down. Do that and remain standing. Welcome them to Pneumatech. Welcome them to Grace Sunday. I also welcome those who are following online. Let's give it up for those who are watching by the internet. Please show them that they are connected. Hallelujah. Amen. Before you sit down, help me honor the Lord for the man of God, Minister Samson Sampilo Solomon, and his beautiful wife. Give them a big, big God bless you. Thank you, sir. Thank you for coming to bless us and for being with us today. In Jesus' name. I wish you can see his son. Some of you will want to pray that you have a son that looks like that. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. Mama, we love you. We celebrate you. Let's give it up for his wife. Thank you so much. We love you. You're always welcome. And we'll honor you even if you come here 1,000 times. Thank you. Your wife looks like Mrs. Victoria Kestrings. Yeah, see it now. See the camera. Who is that person? My friend. Yeah, she looks like her. When I saw her, that was the first thing I thought. Amen. Anyway, they are brothers. Amen. Thank you for being here. Now clap for yourselves. Amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to be brief with the word. And then we will pray. Amen. Thank God for today, Grace Sunday. And because it's Grace Sunday, we have to give everybody grace. Everybody who had to minister, including children. Let's clap for the children's department. Amen. Amen. That guy that was imitating me, if I catch that guy. Amen. And you were laughing when he was saying 1, 2, 3, you were laughing. Okay. We'll do the 1, 2, 3 again. And those people that were laughing, you'll be the first. So laugh now. Fall later. Amen. Yeah, but I think he got it some way. Somehow. Amen. Children are the heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. It says, happy is the man. How did he put it? He that has his quiver. God blesses you by giving you children. Amen. And you know, the Bible says, train up a child. The emphasis is on the word train. When you think about a train, it's like a vehicle with different compartments, different coach connected together, going on the straight line. So when the Bible says train up a child, it means model exactly what you want the child to see. Train. Okay? Just like you have one compartment connected to the next. That's how it is. The model for them. They see what you do before they hear what you say. And I'm glad that they are learning the right way. One day he will go to school, play, and say 1, 2, and everybody will start falling down. Then God bless you. That school is saying, I say, your people don't get witchcraft. Amen. Our children are for signs and wonders. clap for the Lord if you believe that. Amen. Where are those books? We have a small gift for our children today. Children's Day was on Wednesday, right? Yes, yeah, so we have a little gift for them. Maybe more and more we'll get to do something like this, stationaries that we will customize so that it reminds them wherever they go that they are children of this house. Amen. I wasn't the one that informed this bold picture that they put here. That was not our discussion with the printers. It wasn't me. But it shall find at least. Abi? But it wasn't me. Amen. Uh-huh. And then we have the I Am Confession behind. Amen. So there are three kinds of book. There's one for... Okay, this is the normal exercise book. Then there is one for writing. You know writing? Good. Handwriting. That's what they call it. You have the name. I have the book. Amen. And this one is... Okay, what do you call this kind of book with boxes? Mathematics? Okay. So each child that came today is going to have three. One of each. Amen. That's our love to them to say Happy Children's Day. Right? Now, don't collect book for anybody that is not here. You will go to hellfire. Amen. Next time you will bring your children. So please share for those who are around. Amen. And then we got some refreshments for them. Amen. Jealousy clap. Amen. All right. Let's get to the word. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10. I'm going to be brief, but I want to explain something very deep. Those of you that love the Lord and are interested in spiritual things, of course, here in this house, you should be interested in knowing the Lord, growing spiritually. And so I want to explain something about grace this Sunday. It's a little bit deep, but trust me, if you open your ears and your heart, you will catch it. And then we will pray and see what the Lord has for certain people here. Amen. The Lord told me that today there will be activations and distributions. That's why I'm going to be very quick with my message so we can pray. And so, whilst you are listening, I want your heart to be open, so you can receive something that will move you to the next level. Amen. There will be activations and distributions. Activations of graces, giftings, anointings, mantles, lying in the spirits of many of us here that some of us don't even know we carry to be activated. And then there will be distributions of new ones. And the wine of the Spirit will flow in this place. You believe it, say amen. Amen. So please be very spiritual and be very attentive and position your heart to receive. 1 Peter 5 verse 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. What is he going to do for you? He will what? Perfect, establish, strengthen. Prophesy that to your neighbor. Say he will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. He will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's what God will do for somebody this season. In the name of Jesus Christ. You know, the last Sunday of April, we prayed a prayer. Lord, shock me. And I've heard testimonies from that service. Today is going to be, Lord, settle me. Because some of you are about to be settled in a very dramatic way by God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Settlement is not only money. Don't limit God to only money. Some of you think your problem is finance. It's not really. Sometimes instead of God giving you money, He will give you men. Because men have the money. Amen. But God will settle you in the name of Jesus Christ. At the same time, let me announce this so that I don't forget. As a ministry, we are moving into a new season. From June up until September, we are going to be coming into a new kind of anointing. Do you believe what I'm saying to you? And today is the last day of May, and tomorrow we are entering. So in preparation for that, we've decided to hold a prayer and fasting tomorrow. Now, it's supposed to just be for workers because Mondays are our workers service, and that's the only other meeting we have in the week. But if you are interested, you can come tomorrow by 5 here. I'm not sure it will be streamed online. Amen. So I'm apologizing to our online followers. I heard that there are people in Yola, Sokoto, and other places watching from viewing centers. But you should not worry. We are coming to your location soon. But tomorrow, we are going to have prayer and fasting so that we can step into what God has for us. The Lord told me that from June up until September, there's going to come a new anointing on this ministry, and I can sense it already. Amen. Please make sure you are spiritual enough to discern what God is doing. God does not move only by signs. God does not move by physical feelings alone. There are times when without physical manifestations, God can be moving. 2 Kings chapter 3, that was what the prophet Elisha told them. He said, "Thus says the Lord, you will neither see rain nor wind, but this valley will be filled with waters." So be spiritually sensitive for what God is about to do in this season, and make sure you are a partaker in Jesus' name. The God of all grace. That's the message for today. Last Sunday of April, it was the grace of God. Today is the God of grace, or the God of all grace. When we discussed on the message, the grace of God, we defined what grace is, that grace is unmerited and undeserved favor. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. We said that. Grace is the gift of God. The gift of God to a man. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 9. Verse 8 and verse 9 thereabout. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of work, lest any should boast." He says, it is the gift of God. So when you find the manifestation of an ability in the life of a man that you know he naturally does not deserve to contain, that is the grace of God. It's a gift. Sometimes they can be talent. Sometimes they can be spiritual. Because gifts transcend just talent. Gifts can be mentally, physically, or spiritual gifts. Okay? We said grace is spiritual blessings or spiritual resources. You know, Sampilo's song, Fuel. That song is a revival song. That Fuel now means that God will empower you in the days when you are weak. God will revive you, just like fuel is to a car to keep the engine running. So the fuel of the Spirit is a spiritual resource imparted in you by the Holy Spirit. It's still grace. All right? When God deposits it in you, you are revived to pray. You are revived to pursue and press into God. You are revived to overcome temptations. You are revived to look beyond distractions and focus on God. You are revived to get yourself ready to access the next level. You are revived to fight the battles and the warfare for that season of your life. These are all reasons why God can revive you. So that revival, that thing that God does to you that makes you revived, is a resource, is a spiritual resource. You cannot see it, but it is real. We categorize all of that under grace. So anything you receive in the kingdom because of what Jesus has done, for as long as your Christian experience is sustained on earth, is called grace. So you see that the understanding of grace is in different levels. It's more than just undeserved favor. It can also be a gift. It can also be an ability. In fact, I said grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. So God can make a man rich in different ways. Not only financially rich. God can make you rich with men. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The grace of God that can make a man rich with men. That means he has men around him. He has connections. Help them there. The grace of God that does that is what we call favor. The anointing is also a grace. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, when God wants to make you rich with men or with resources, he will put favor on your life. And I remember in March, I preached a message. Was it March or February or April? Increasing in favor. Good. Let's focus on the teaching for today. The God of grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. In the previous scripture, 1 Peter 5 verse 10, where we read, the Bible says that the God of all grace, that means he is abundant in every kind of grace that we can receive through Christ Jesus. And then the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8, that he is able to make all grace. If the Bible is saying all grace, it means that grace exists in levels and in dimensions. And I'm going to explain that. You see, that's why I say you should listen. Because I'm going a bit deep today, spiritual. And I don't have time to do too much explanation. So please be attentive. Grace exists in levels and dimensions. What do I mean by levels and dimensions? When we say grace exists in dimensions, we mean grace existing in different aspects of spiritual manifestation, or existing as different aspects of spiritual manifestation. For instance, grace that you call favor, grace that you call healing or the healing anointing. That's a dimension of God. Dimension simply means an aspect of divine operation. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me just make it in a very clear terms. I was asking somebody recently, we're talking about a spiritual thing, a mentee of mine, and I asked her, I said, what is a realm? She's trying to explain realm of the spirit. And she gave one bogus answer. Bogus. I almost felt she was the pastor, I was the member listening. And I told her something, I said, see, I love your attempt, you did well, that's good. But in the realm of the spirit, in the realm of men, amongst men, when they ask you a question, it's because they want to test your intellectual capacity. When you are asked a question, they need you to make an attempt at answering. But in the spirit world, spirits don't behave like humans. When you are asked a question in the spirit world, in heaven, they are not looking for answer. In fact, they know you don't know anything. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 2, what does it say? Because the wisdom of men, when you carry it into eternity, where spirits dwell, it is nothing. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. That's why when you come into Christ Jesus and you are dealing with God, you will need humility. Because God is not the person you go before and think you know anything. Son of man, shall these bones live? You think God didn't know the answer to that question? So why was God asking him? And the guy was wise. He said, only you know. Because when God is asking you a question that you know he knows the answer to, then he's not asking you to make an attempt at the answer. He's asking because he wants you to acknowledge your ignorance so that he can enlighten you. He can impart you. Because amongst men, knowledge can just be a great idea. But in the realm of the spirit, knowledge is power. Knowledge is a spiritual reality. For every information that escapes from the spirit world to you is coming as energy, is coming as power, is coming as light. It's not knowledge that will just stay in your mind. No, it's knowledge that transforms your entire being. I'm talking now, you are hearing somebody shouting there, another person falling there. What's making them fall? It's not the words I'm saying. It's the spirit behind the words. Oh, I feel a strong angelic presence in this meeting. No, this one is not a mass joke. Oh. This one is for real. And God bless you, you follow to laugh. And I'm trying to explain this so you know how advantaged we are as believers. Know that Christianity is not a joke. It's not ordinary. It is supernatural. And if you can taste of it and walk in it, there will be no temptation to turn back, number one. Number two, there will be no temptation to ever believe that the devil or man can help you above God. Because with God, all things. That scripture becomes a living reality when you have experienced the possibility of the supernatural. So grace exists in dimensions. There are different aspects of the operation of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. He can operate as healing today. He can operate as favor tomorrow. He can operate as what again? Power. Yeah. The power of God is not only available to knock people off their feet. No, there are many things the power of God can do. Believe me. The power of God can open doors. It can compel people. It can seize the will of people. Have you watched Legend of the Seeker? That thing that confessor does. There's an anointing that does that at a supernova level. Believe me, I'm telling you practically what I've seen. We drove to the airport one time in Abuja to pick up a senior pastor friend. He was coming from Lagos. And where we were parking, we saw as we were parking there, there is a no parking range. And if you have ever been to the airport before, I mean, not this one here. I mean, maybe an airport like Lagos or Abuja, where it's very busy. Road safety, airport security, they are just looking for defaulters. Minimum they will collect from you is 10,000 naira. And we just parked there and we saw them chaining somebody's tire in front of us. And so the guy walked towards us. There were three of them. One came towards us, two were standing in front of the car. And I wind down. I was already afraid that we were in trouble. But somehow there was confidence. And as I wind down and looked at the man, the next thing he should have said is, "Oh God, this is a no parking zone. Oh yeah, calm down. You know, as he looked, he wanted to say something. As he looked at me, he froze. Then he greeted me. I said, "Well done, sir." He said, "Oh God, you be pastor." I was wearing a t-shirt. Even as I dressed like this, will you see me on the road and think I'm a pastor? No. You only know I'm a pastor when you decide to try me. That's when you now know that all fingers are not equal. I was seeing a friend off one night with, you know, his wife and somebody. And they told me, "Apostle, this your street is so lonely. Please go back." I said, "No, don't worry. I'm fine. You know, hope nothing will happen to you." I said, "Waiting." I said, "You will come tomorrow, see people, they sweep ground. When you are living in the dangerous zone, you need to carry juju. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Either you hold juju or you hold God very well. So me, I know the one I'm holding. You know, I used to joke with some people before that anytime a car will have an accident, I'll disappear and leave them there. So somebody joked about it one day and said that if he's entering a car with me, he will just hold me. Amen. And you know what? Maybe 5, 7 or how many years now, I have never entered a vehicle that had an accident. Not even hit somebody, no. Sometimes I'll be in the front of the car. I know we are hitting this guy, but something just holds the car. I'm talking about grace. So grace can operate in different dimensions. Whilst you can have one working in your life, you may be void of the other. You may see the healing grace of God flowing through you or working in your life, but you may not have the one for prosperity. Is that true? Or someone else may have the one for prosperity and not have the one for healing. I've seen people who are doing well financially, but they struggle with their health. And I've seen people who are doing so well healthily, but their pockets are dry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Then the Bible says that the God of all grace, and then it says God is able to make all grace abound. Instead of living with one and being scarce of others, he's able to make how many? All. Shout all. He's able to make all abound. You can become a compendium of grace. Graces, that's what we call it. You can carry healing. You can carry prosperity. You can carry deliverance. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can enter a place in a parlor. You are greeting people and all of that. Somebody enters the parlor and starts shouting and screaming. It's not a service. It's just we are meet and greet in the parlor. Why? Because you entered that place. You can call somebody and the person is talking with you and has a request for finances. And as you are talking, all the places where the person's money is hanging, the alerts are dropping in the person's phone. And then when it's now time to hear the person, oh yeah, what's your problem? The person say, Apostle, no problem. You don't finish. You can pray for somebody. Two people are getting married and they come and say, Apostle, in 3 months' time, we want to get married. We are believing God together. And they bring a seed of 20,000. And in 3 months' time, they are getting married. Few days to the wedding, everything is paid for. And somebody gives them $5,000 for reception. Aside from other ones coming, you know. And after the wedding, somebody gives them a car that is worth an amount you don't want to hear. And 1 month later, one of them travels out to the United States. Is it about the 20,000? No. It's about grace. What they don't know is that beyond just the laying on of hands, they collided with graces. Because as a believer, your life will be a reflection of the economy that you have with God. Everything you've been able to download by reason of understanding, by reason of your interaction with the Holy Spirit, by reason of your knowledge of God, it will manifest on a daily basis. Everything happening in your life every day is a report card, a testament of what you have with God, whether it is grace or graces. How many of you want to carry graces? So grace operates in dimensions and in levels. Now, the levels is you can have a particular dimension of grace, but be walking at a level of it. And then God increases you to another level. Still the same grace, but now at another level. And it begins to manifest around you. You can be a singer or you can be a preacher. And then God puts a grace on you and everybody around your neighborhood can hear you. The same grace, but then all of a sudden the entire city is listening to you. And then a nation is the same grace, but is increasing from one level to the other. Now, many of you came to this service. It's not that you don't have a particular grace that you are crying for. You have it already. It's just that you came so that it can be activated. For some of you, you came so that it can be increased. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Half cup of water is different from a quarter cup. It's different from a filled cup. God wants you to carry an overflow. And you will receive it in the name of Jesus. Now, in the book of Acts, the Bible talks to us about Peter. And let me show you how Peter had a particular grace that increased in different levels. In Acts chapter 3, remember, Peter healed a man at the gate, beautiful. He had the healing grace. But remember how the healing happened. He stretched forth his hand, held the man, and helped him to his feet. In Acts chapter 5, the narrative had changed. The Bible says that they will bring out sick people on the street so that the shadow of Peter can cast on them. It was the same grace, but it had increased. Please increase that your volume for me. It had increased in level. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, you need to know how to operate or step into a dimension of grace needed in your life. Because every aspect of your life where you experience your weakness and your humanity as a man is a sign that the grace of God is absent in that aspect. There are people who have a grace to pray but are failing academically. So it means they need the grace of God in that aspect. So every kind of weakness you experience, every kind of humanity you experience in any aspect of your life is a sign that the grace of God is absent in that place and that you need the grace of God. So you need to step into the grace needed to complete that aspect. Because the grace of God covers our weaknesses. The grace of God enhances your strength. The grace of God blindfolds the eyes of men to what is a weakness. In fact, it can turn a weakness to become strength. He said, for my strength is made perfect where? In your weakness. I have a friend. He's going to be with us in Glory Summit. And he's going to be here, Youth Aflame, in August. Minister E. Daniels. He's visually impaired. But sometimes when you see him doing what we do, we that have eyes, you'll feel like removing your own. I've been very close to him, and I'm just amazed. I'm just amazed. Very skillful on the guitar. One time we were doing a song in the studio with him. And I saw the way he was operating the keyboard, operating the system. I was just looking at him. When they say, Apostle, start. What is supposed to be a weakness? The grace of God. You need grace on your ministry, sir. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Otherwise, you will sing what other people sing and blow, and nobody will hear you. You will preach what other preachers are preaching and are famous, and nobody will hear you. It's not really about whether you are doing something different. It's about whether the grace of God is connected to what you do. Because the grace of God covers your weakness, enhances your strength, turns your disabilities to become an ability, a supernatural ability. Anything around your life that you are not proud of, let the grace of God rest on that thing. And that will be the thing that will make you most proud of amongst men. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Grace. And then you see that in the life of Peter, from his shadow, from helping a man, then his shadow could heal people. And a time came when he was traveling and they told him, he got to a city. There was a man who was lame. Acts chapter, I think 9, thereabout. The man's name was Ananias. For 8 years, bedridden. Peter didn't have to lift his hand, put his hand and help the man again. Grace had increased. Peter looked at him and said, Ananias, Jesus heals you. Stand up and make your bed. You know, Jesus used to do that. He saw Jesus did that in John chapter 5. But he hadn't the ability. So grace came on them at Pentecost. But it was not enough for that miracle. But as you keep walking with God, he causes you to grow in grace. And then gradually, listen, let me tell you, some of you, the battles you are facing now is just for a while. Let the devil feel himself and take his time around you. One of the things that God will do when God has seen that you have been tried through a season of battles and warfare, and it's time to lift you, nothing may change in the physical. He will just apply a spiritual resource called grace on your life. Still the same you. Stature did not change. Weight did not increase. But the devil does not know that grace has been added. The same demons that came and harassed you will come and not be able to come close. Why? grace has been added. And that's how he lifts you from one level to the next level. Listen, let me tell you something about battles and warfare. For those of you who are discouraged, as a matter of fact, I know there are some of us who have been discouraged by a lot of things you go through. Listen, let me tell you. There is something called the trial of your faith. The trial of your faith. Why must your faith be tried? The reason is because it is by faith you were saved, number one. That means everything you receive in the kingdom in Christ Jesus is going to be on the checkbook of faith. Faith is what you will use to receive every grace that God has for you. Now, why must your faith be tried? Your faith must be tried so that God can increase its capacity to handle more resources coming. Because even faith can grow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If your account, the limit it can receive is 1 million, there are some kind of money that will enter that account and the account will be frozen. If your account has a limit of 1 million and 10 million is sent to your account, you will not be able to withdraw. You will have to come to the bank and explain, bring your BVN, bring everything and all that. And God bless you, some kind of banks. I will not mention them because the workers may be here. I went to a bank one time and were there standing for long. I was angry. Everybody was angry. And then one guy shouted from the back, "What's your problem now? What's wrong with you people? Can't you people employ more staff? Blah, 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 blah." And then he got a reply, like a counter attack in a football match. He got a reply from the counter, one of the staff say, "Aga, what's your problem? Oh yeah, come. How much do you have in this account? Come, let's withdraw it and go." I said, "Yeah." So I told myself, I said, "Wait, why did I come here to deposit somebody's account, ba?" When I left that bank, I said, "I will never enter this bank till Jesus appears in the sky." Say amen. Amen. At least you don't know the bank. No? Are you hearing me? So God increases grace. And that's how Peter's grace increased. How about Paul the apostle? He was preaching one time and a man was lame. And he said to the man, "Stand up on your feet." And the man stood up. Chapters later, the Bible says handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from him. Paul didn't have to be physically present. The grace of God had increased around his life. It had grown to a capacity where it could be wireless. In fact, more than wireless. You can travel into another continent with a cloth that came from Paul, and it will command the same result regardless of territorial differentials. So why does God try your faith? That's why you have to go through battles, because your faith is like a checkbook. It's like the account limit that you can have. 1 million cannot receive 10 million. So in the seasons of trials and of battles, and sometimes, you know, you can go through some trials where it's not only you, even the people around you start suffering. For instance, your family members will be falling sick as well. And they don't know that the reason why they are sick is because there's a Jonah in the boat. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The devil is coming for you, but it's your wife that will fall sick. You wake up the next day, your son is convulsing. It's called the trial of your faith. "But though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Allow God to take you through that process. God is not the one trying you. He allowed the devil, so that what the devil is doing to you will be an excuse for God to lift you. Because according to the laws of the kingdom, if we suffer with him, we shall be glorified with him. Suffering is the proof that time for glory has come. So what qualifies you for different dimensions of the glory of God on your life is how much suffering, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of the suffering, being made conformable unto death, so that you will not die and die forever. No, that I will attain even to the resurrection of the death. So the power of resurrection that you want to know, you will only access it when you have encountered the sufferings that will drive you as though you were going to death. That death may not just be physical. Your business can be grounded. That's death. Your finances can be grounded completely. Have you been at that place in life where everything shuts down completely? That can be a death in itself. But if you walk with God well enough, you will know that death is a door. It's not an end. Sometimes God will allow the devil to triumph, to even think he has finished you. But the Bible says we are pressed on every side but not crushed, persecuted but not abandoned, cast down but not destroyed, bearing in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus, so that the life of Christ can be revealed in us. After that season of warfare, there is a season of glory. And what is that season? Simply God increasing the grace on your life. Nothing will change physically, but there will be an account of grace handed over to you. Somebody is going to increase in grace today. As we wrap up, how do you grow in grace? I've explained to you that you can grow in grace. You can also increase in grace. Growing in grace is moving from one grace to another. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when God adds to your healing favor, you are growing in grace. When God adds to your favor prosperity, you are growing in grace. When God adds to your prosperity wisdom, because just prospering alone does not guarantee that you will live a fulfilled and a victorious life. Prosperity without wisdom is trouble already. That's growing in grace as God is adding different things. But you can also increase in a particular grace. Increase at a level. So how do you grow in grace? Number one, through the knowledge of the Word of God. Through the knowledge of the Word of God. Through the knowledge of the Word of God. Do we need to get a chair for Mama outside? I think so. They should help her with that. The knowledge of the Word of God. Acts chapter 20 verse 32. What does it say? It says, but now brethren, I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able. Look at this. Which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The Bible calls it the word of his grace. Meaning in the word of God is grace. And what does it do? It builds you up and helps you obtain your inheritance. That inheritance is simply the grace of God available for you in Christ Jesus. Every spiritual resource you need to fulfill purpose, to prosper, and to grow in conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. Grace. Is grace. Even if it is revelation, it is grace. Even if it is wisdom, it is grace. Do you know there's also a grace for spiritual encounters? There are certain divine abilities that may not manifest in your life until God allows you to have spiritual encounters, until God allows you to meet with certain spirits, until God allows you to meet with certain angels, with certain beings in the kingdom. You know, if you don't explain it like this, some people want to live their life completely as carnal Christians and think, why must we always be spiritual about everything? The strength of your Christianity is your spirituality. There are certain dimensions of God you will never see until you've had certain encounters. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's a grace that comes on you that allows you to meet certain kinds of spirits. And from that day, everybody's compelled to hear you around that territory. There are angels God can send to you. And from that day, people will come to church not because they are invited, but because they were forced to come. Not forced by any human being, but because there are encounters that have permitted that thing to happen. You know, just like you have a magnet and it can attract objects that carry the same material properties with it. Do you know that there is a grace like that in the spirit? That a spiritual magnetic force can be around you and attract the right people into your life. But how do you access it? Through the knowledge of the Word of God. Second Peter 3, verse 18, I read it. He said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13, verse 9, the Bible says that our hearts be established with grace. So this is what God does. When you come into Christ Jesus, the reason why you must be exposed to the ministry of the Word of God is because the Word of God teaches you and opens your understanding. God has all that God has made available for you in Christ Jesus. It is through the Word of God you can see that these realities exist. It is through the Word of God you can know God. And the thing about knowing God, the reason why the knowledge of God is the prime knowledge that any man can have on this earth. Ask the richest man who ever lived, Solomon. He said, this is the whole duty of man, to fear God and to keep his commandment. Why didn't he talk about money? It's because there is a knowledge that is beyond acquisition of material and financial wealth. The knowledge of God is such that for every aspect of God you know, your being is transformed to replicate the results that are productible by that dimension. This is what I mean. If you know God, for instance, as healer, the end result of your knowing God as healer is that the grace that makes a man become like God as healer comes upon you. It follows that knowledge of God into you. Many of you, anytime you need something or you need to know something, you go to Google and search, isn't it? Everything. Somebody even searching, how can I know my husband? Now there are even apps that they'll say, I will draw your husband for you. That is witchcraft. So let me just tell you, that is what's this aspect of witchcraft? It's similar to tarot card readings. Zoroastrianism, right? How can somebody just draw your husband? And sometimes they are accurate. You either have met that person or you will meet the person. Don't be fooled. It's not only God that understands the supernatural, Satan too. There's something called the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know why man ate it? Because nothing in it suggested evil. So Satan knows how to bring witchcraft in a very acceptable way. It's an app. Click on it, put your name, and they will draw your husband. And you don't know the spirits behind those manifestations. Those are mind control systems. And most times you find it accurate. 5 out of 7 ladies who did that, they met. And then something you now tells you, oh, well, we should be trusting this thing more. Now the whole world is becoming over dependent on AI. And you don't want to know where AI is going to. I'm telling you the truth. Where AI is going to, when the mark of the beast will come, many Christians will not know it's the mark of the beast. In fact, Christians will fight Christians for not accepting it, because nothing in it will suggest it is a mark. Oh boy, Satan wise, oh. But instead of doing all that, you can simply talk to the Holy Spirit, the one that searches all things. But how do you know he searches all things? The Word of God tells you, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. The Word of God exposes you to all that you can be in Christ. And then, with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you step into it. That's why you must take the Word of God serious. Let me tell you something. You cannot walk permanently in any grace of God without an accurate revelational knowledge of that grace from Scripture. If you doubt me, try it. It's as simple as this. I can call somebody and impart a grace that I have from God. Of course, I have it because it was given to me. It's not my own. I can impart that grace on somebody, and the person will, it will manifest for like 7 days, maybe, or 14 days. Just like there are some apps you can go on. YouTube Music. They say try 1 month free. No ad. And then you are enjoying it. After 1 month, the thing will shut down. They say, do you want again? You click yes. They say, okay, go and get the premium family plan. And then that money you enjoyed for free for 1 month, they will collect it back from you. So that person can carry the grace that was imparted on him. not because they know anything about it, but because it was given to them as a gift. Now, after a while, because they don't know the knowledge that supports the foundation of that resource, of that gift, it will fade away. In fact, it can still be in them, but it will not function again. The spirit realm will not legitimize its manifestation. They'll go and lay hand, and the headache will increase. They'll pray for the sick person, and 2 days later, they'll hear the person has died. Ah. But just last week, I prayed for somebody, and it's because you don't understand the knowledge behind it. Because for every meal, there is a recipe. Having ingredients alone does not mean you can prepare it. Put ingredients for fried rice on one table and on another table. Bring a lady who is skillful in cooking and bring somebody like me to stand on the other one. You will see fried rice on one side and another kind of rice at the other side. Another kind. You know, this kind. Halamakaradabashandaba. In the first place, I will not even attempt to cook anything because I know I don't have grace there, so I'll step back. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why you need the knowledge of God. Many people suffering even from demonic afflictions. Listen, dealing with demons, the Bible says we shall expel demons. Yes, but the power to expel demons is obtained at different levels. For every time you have the power to expel a particular set of demons, it is because the spirit realm have legitimized the operation of that power at that level, because they have confirmed that you have the revelation knowledge behind that power. It operates at levels. That's why this one will come out and the other one will fight you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you'll have to go to the word of God. It is as you seek that. That's when the Bible no longer becomes a Bible. It now becomes the book of life. It now becomes a spiritual reality. It's like an animation. It's like Avatar. The Spirit of God will suck you inside. And you'll be surprised that the same Bible you were reading. Is it not John here? Peter here? But in the same place you read past and you were sleeping, the Holy Spirit will zoom your eyes somewhere. And something will break open. Your eyes will just open. And you will know that you know that from today, those demons cannot come close. And they will know. You know, that's the thing with the devil. Every one of us in the spirit realm, light emits from you. That's how they see you. They see you as light. When you are a weak Christian, your light is either weak or no light. The moment they see that your light is bright, you have acquired spiritual knowledge. That means there's a grace functional. So demons are very intelligent. They won't even come close again. That's why the day the Lord gives you knowledge to freedom on a particular issue, you will not even need to pray again. You will not experience that thing again. It will be as if the demons never existed. You know why? They have seen that you have caught the light. So they don't want to come close and attract immediate judgment. And they just leave. For the light shineth in darkness. That darkness is ignorance. Many people are ignorant. That's why demons press them. Many people are ignorant. That's why they don't know the relationship between favor and their finances. Many people are ignorant. That's why they don't know that there are different dimensions of the wisdom of God. You can have wisdom for administration and fail in your relationship. You can have wisdom for creativity and your marriage is in crisis. Because you think you know how to do it here, does not mean you know how to do it here. You need to get the revelation knowledge that sponsors that one. There's a grace to make a generation hear you. There's a grace to make a territory listen to you. There's a grace to speak to the elements and they obey you. There's a grace to speak to things and they move. But do you know it? Do you know the foundation, the knowledge that sponsored that grace? That's why people shout Jesus and nothing happens. And some don't even shout. There are many prayers I've prayed I forgot to say in Jesus' name. And it happened. Because this thing is not a game. The spirit realm knows. When you have obtained knowledge around a particular grace, you don't need to add Jesus' name to your prayer. The spirit realm, they know that you know it. So it is released. There was a season earlier in this ministry when we started. I used to fall sick frequently. I said, what's the problem? And you know, you can't do ministry if you're not healthy. Let me tell you the truth. You cannot do ministry if you're not healthy. I knew that this was going to be an issue. So I had to sit down with it. Many times they prayed for me, I'll be healed and then it will come back. I'll be healed and then it will come back. So I had to go one day and sit with the word of God and allow the word of God teach me. Me that teaches others. Let me see the secret from God's word. This thing is a grace you can carry. The Bible says, I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. It says, none of the inhabitants of Zion shall say, I am sick. That means God's plan for you was not even healing. It was for you to live a healthy life. Healing is only a makeshift arrangement. There is something your body can assess from the word of God that makes it look as if sickness don't exist. For if the spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall again quicken your mortal bodies. And the day that thing settled on me, people take Artemether. What's the latest malaria drug now? I don't know all those things. Seasons will change. My body's the same. Mosquito. Most times I pray outside with the mosquitoes. In fact, I don't know when last I felt temperature, that my body was hot. I know a man that saw something in the word of God one time. He saw a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1. He said, all flesh is grass. Now, that was not the literal interpretation. That was not the main understanding of that scripture. All flesh is grass. The grass is withers and the flower fails, but the word of God abides forever. And this is what the revelation the Holy Spirit gave him. All flesh is grass. Abi? Yes. What does grass need to survive? Manure? Not really. Grass only needs water. As long as they are in the ground, they will grow. It's your crops that need water, manure, all kinds of things. And he told himself, if all flesh is grass and grass only needs water, all I need to do to live a healthy life is water. That man has lived healthy for nearly 70 years. That man is my biological father. He may be watching now. It's the truth. Since we were born, it's only once. And that one we knew it was an attack. Because that was a few months after my mom passed. Recently, they just buried his mother. She's almost 100 when she died. No sickness. They just took her back from her son's place back to her own house. That night, by the next day, she was gone. Her husband died 106. And they apologized that they miscalculated his age. He's more than that. And I understand that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac. So gather all the witches in your village with that revelation. I will only leave this world when it's time for me to leave. Knowledge. Please, please don't give ignorance a place in your life. Many people neglect the word of God. I see how unserious many Christians are about their study of the word of God. If only you know that the key to the grace you need is there. I want you to put your two hands on your eyes. And say, Lord, from today, open my eyes as I study the word. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Let it not just be a religious exercise. Let me begin to see things that make for my dominion. Things that make for my increase. Every solution in this life can be found in the word of God. But your eyes must be open. To see you highly lifted up. You are shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. We want to see you. We want to see you. Hallelujah. Number two, how do you grow in grace? The revelation of Jesus by the Holy Ghost. The revelation of Jesus by the Holy Ghost. John chapter 1 verse 14 tells us that Jesus, when he became flesh as the Word, he was full of grace and truth. Jesus is grace personified. Verse 16 of John chapter 1 says, of his fullness we have received grace for grace. Jesus is grace. Grace is more than just a doctrine. Grace is more than a gift. Grace is first a person before a thing. That person is Jesus Christ himself. Every time he reveals himself to you, grace has been extended. That's how you enter different dimensions of grace. Now, what do we mean by the revelation of Jesus? Hear me. The work of the Holy Spirit, the primary work of the Holy Spirit, is to help explain and bring to your understanding who Jesus was or who Jesus is. Let me give you an illustration before we pray. Can I have four people come? Please come. Yes, two of you come. I need two gentlemen here. Okay, let's have one lady. Yes. Oh yeah, come. Do you have any picture of mine? Just show any picture. I would have used Minister Sampilo's picture, but I don't want trouble. Amen. You know, it's too handsome when you keep it there too much. Make your wife no confidence. Say, many women, they look my husband. They were looking at him when he was ministering. That's just a joke. Just put any of my picture on the screen. Look for correct one, or don't go and look for the one where I'm fighting the devil. Amen. Just let me show you. Just watch this illustration and then we'll pray. All of you, okay, come forward. Still on a single line, but come forward. I want you to, the Holy Spirit gave me this illustration this afternoon. I told you that the Holy Spirit's primary work to a believer is to reveal Jesus to you. This Jesus that you didn't see when you became born again can be revealed to you so that you know him by the Holy Spirit. Watch this. Do you have you gotten a picture? I'm going to tell each of you something, okay? And then you give me a mic. What I tell you is what you will say. The exact word, that's what you will say, okay? So, do you have? Okay, watch this now. So, each, please, apart. Yes, just stay apart. All right? That's my picture, right? What's the name of the person there? Jonathan Lagang, right? Okay. Who is that person?
A priest.
Give the mic. Who is that person?
Writer.
Who is that person?
A musician.
Who is that person?
A prophet.
Are they correct? But they have different opinions. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That picture is Jesus. All right? The Holy Spirit now gives you a personalized revelation of Jesus. To him, he's a priest. To him, he's a writer. He may not know that, but he knows that aspect. To him, he's a musician. To her, he's a prophet. All the same person, but different revelation. Now, what they will be able to transact with that person is going to be on the strength of what they know about the person. So because she knows him as a prophet, she will deal with him as a prophet and receive a prophetic word. Another person knows him as a musician and is blessed whenever he sings. Another person knows him as a writer and is looking for everything Apostle wrote to read. Meanwhile, another person knows him as a what? Priest. Go and sit down. God bless you. Watch this before we pray. So that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He gives everybody who is Jesus to you. Don't give you the definition they gave you in Sunday school. Who is Jesus to you? That's not a question of definition. That's a question of encounter. That's a question of experience. When a man is in trouble and he says, Jesus, the reason behind that shout is that what I know about Jesus appear now and command salvation. Trouble is if he doesn't know anything by experience, nothing will happen. Many people have shouted Jesus and had accident and died. A personal encounter. Jesus told his disciples, whom do men say that I am? Ah, you are Elijah, you are this one, you are that one. But whom do you say? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That singular statement repositioned Peter. It took him from the back of the 12 and he said, upon this rock I will build my church. Overnight, Peter became not just a normal fisherman who followed Jesus. He became a pillar of the church. Did Paul not say in Galatians chapter 2, he said, when those who were pillars of the church, Cephas and John, saw that the grace of God was extended to me, they gave me the right. Even Paul acknowledged that Peter was a pillar. By revelation. How far you go is by how much encounter you have about Jesus beyond the pages of a book, beyond what people say. What do you know about him? When you shout his name, what do you want to manifest? Is it the picture of a rosary? Or maybe the picture in a book? Or you watch Passion of the Christ and then the person that played the character of Jesus, is that the Jesus you know? Do you know him as power? Do you know him as the man that is the grace of God personified? Do you know him as the great warrior? Do you know him as the King of glory? Yes, the world bow down and say you are King. Every man will bow down and say you are King. So let's start right now. Why would we? Hey, King of glory, King of glory, fill this place. Just wanna be with you. Just wanna be with you. Just wanna be with you. Come on, call his name, King of glory. Fill this room. Just wanna be with you. Just wanna be with you. Listen to me before we pray. It is important in these last days who Jesus is to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The situations, the problem of life don't have time for you to rehearse. There is no preparatory class for the problems of life. You will need to have a first-hand personal experience, personal revelation of Jesus. Not the one they told you in church. That's good, but that is a launching pad for the one that the Holy Ghost revealed to you. If you know him as the King of glory, that means every gate that is stubbornly closed before you must open hither and thither. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you know him as the King of glory, no gate can be shut before you. When we were going for the crusade in Bill, we arrived almost 12:30 a.m. in the morning. The gates were closed. I came down from the car and said, no gate closes before me. That's how they called one person. They came and opened the gate and we entered when people were sleeping. Now, if you know Borno very well, if you travel around recently, that's a very risky journey to take. One of the checkpoints we passed, I think after Gerkida, before we got to Hawood, the soldiers asked for prayer. We were coming back, the same thing. We got to Benishek. They refused us to pass. In fact, for us to have gotten to Benishek was a miracle. Because everybody stopped at Gamdo. We continued with our small Volkswagen wagon. We're going like that. When the gate opened, the sergeant was looking at me. He said, "Ogana, wow." That's how we drove all through. The only vehicle on that road. No street light. If you don't know Jesus, you can't go on that journey. Let me tell you, this is 12 years and 3 months in this land. I came because God sent me. It's not, this one is not maybe, it was a direct encounter. I know what I heard. And wherever I go, it is that thing that secures me. You pass a place, and then 1 hour later, they attack that place. Who is Jesus to you? So if Jesus is grace, it means every time you know him, grace has been released on you. Every time you know him. One time God taught me something. How many of you have seen where, I don't do that again these days. But sometimes, you know, those days, I'll call somebody and say, "Look at my eyes," and they'll look and they fall. There's a knowledge behind that, you know. There's something Jesus showed me about him that made that to happen. Should I tell you now? There's something behind it about the eyes of Jesus. So the day that knowledge entered me by revelation, every time I look at that person, they are looking at Jonathan, but Jonathan is looking at them as Jesus looking at them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Please be seated as we round up. The revelation of Jesus. So intimacy with the Holy Spirit is key. You want to know Jesus and obtain grace. Intimacy. Let your prayer life be beyond motion. Let your prayer life be beyond activity. Let it be a relationship with the Holy Spirit. When you go to pray, don't just fulfill all righteousness. Sit down there and talk to him as a man speaks to his friend. You may be praying in tongues, but you are having a direct interaction with God such that you forget time. Intimacy. That's why we do this thing. It's not for activity. It's not so that you can feel spiritual. Demons don't know what feeling does. So, are you hearing what I'm saying? It's reality they respond to. When you sit down there, talk with him as a man talks with his friend. And every time the Bible says, "For he shall take of what is mine and show to you." Every time you are with the Holy Ghost in prayer, in the word, in meditation, worshiping him, he's revealing Jesus to you. That's what sponsors your worship. The reason why you cannot be dry of songs to worship him is not because you know all the songs, but it's because you know beyond songs, you know the revelation of Jesus. So the songs you are singing are coming from dimensional revelations of Jesus. You are not just singing, you are singing from revelation. And the revelation you have of Jesus is what is choosing the songs you sing. That's the kind of worship that moves the power of God in a place. Not these games that we do these days. And technology has made it easy. You can, once you have good instrumentalists, and we just, the days are coming, you know, when God will separate music ministers in this country. In fact, we're already there. You guys, before you go to the studio, know Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Know him. Let your songs come from a direct, intimate experience with him. Then it will last longer than Michael Jackson's song. How did we hear of K strings? Gashina, Gamuna, Serking Ajana, Yanana. Gashina, Gamuna. We thought that was all. And then another one came. Yesu Merahama. Now, listen. As I walk closely with that man, I've realized there's something about Jesus he knows. He's a very simple man. When you sit down with him, I'm not blinded by that simplicity. There's something he knows. Every song, and it keeps getting better. It keeps getting better. Close your eye from the song. It's not the song. There's an intimate experience. And then each song is a sign that he has been drawn closer. Ha! There is a way you will know God. God can be so jealous. Have you seen people tell you, you know, that they saw you in their dream? Or this one, that one, they saw you, they had an encounter with you. I've had people who have been to Pneumatech who never met me before. Nobody invited them. How did you come? I've been seeing you in my... The lady met me after the service. One of these Sundays told me, I've been seeing you in my dreams for 1 year. Never met her before. Of all the men in town, why is it my face Jesus is using? Intimacy. Number three, you want to grow in grace, impartations from a higher spiritual authority. Impartations for a higher spiritual authority. I think I'll just close it here and then we'll pray. There's a lot I would have shared, but it's not about sharing. It's about experiences. If you want to grow in grace, you want to grow from one grace to another, you can simply collect it from somebody who has it. There are people who walk around with the grace called favor. This thing happening in your life and in your finances, where every time you need help, nobody stands up for you. You have to do everything on your own. There is a grace missing. And sometimes you don't need to fast and pray. Listen, let me tell you, almost all the graces that I know that is in Christ Jesus, they are on earth. There's really nothing you are looking for that will come from heaven that is not already on earth. What are you looking for? Prosperity. Somebody already has it as a grace. Healing. Somebody has it as a grace. One of my mentors in the faith said to his people one time, he said he respects the body of Christ because we are so graced by God. That if tomorrow he wakes up and he's paralyzed on one side of his body, there's no need for fasting and prayer. He will just tell his people, take me to so and so person. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That they walk in that grace. I've met people that they are like Google. I mean, you literally can send them the name of a person and say, I want to know this person. And they will bring out what is not on the internet. If I've even met the one that didn't say the name, I really wanted to test the gift. I didn't say the name. I said, there's somebody. You see the way they... 2 days later, he called me. He called the native name of the lady first. I said, blood of Jesus. You want to add blood of God now, ba? This is me, oh me. I thank God for that grace on my life a little. But I know people who have it at higher dimensions. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I know people that I call them, we are talking, and they'll tell me the color of the clothes I'm wearing. Now that you know that men are vessels and custodians of graces, don't kill yourself looking for what is not missing. Simply connect to a man that carries it. Connect to a church that carries it. Connect to a ministry that carries it. Why will God wake you up one day and say, carry your tithe and pay it to this man of God? Or carry this seed, go and drop it in Living Faith. Or when you go to Pneumatech, go and drop it there. Or give this to Apostle. In your mind, you think you are enriching me. No, with all due respect, thank you. But even you know that thing you are giving me cannot enrich me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not about the man. It's about the graces he carries. Sometimes there are people God has given graces. They can be in a territory for a long time, and the territory does not know the grace that they have until they leave. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Impartations from a higher authority. Now, if you must receive that kind of grace, you must be humble to receive. Sometimes the person can be your friend. Discuss as friends. But when it is time for you to receive grace, step down from friendship and say, man of God, pray for me. You don't need to kneel down. Humility is an acknowledgement from the heart first. Many people kneel down and are not humble. Many people bring seed and are not humble. It's an acknowledgement from the heart first. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I went to Abuja one time. As I landed, in about 2 hours or so, rain fell. Honestly, I didn't pray for rain. Honestly. But I shall know I spoke to the air and told the air to walk to favor me. I told the weather to be favorable. I even told the air that no reaction was shown on my face. Oh, you don't know you can do that? You know there's something called environmental acne. You travel to a place, you have reactions on your body. Try speaking to the water of that place or speak to the air. You won't have those reactions again. This one I've given you for free. Yes, you didn't fast for it. I've given you for free. As you are entering that place, speak to the air. North, east, west, and south. Speak to the wind. Anybody that breathes in air from these four corners, let them be commanded to favor me. I just entered. 2 hours later, rain fell. Somebody called me immediately. Say, Apostle, you don't land Abuja. You don't land Abuja. Oh, you don't land Abuja. Where are you, Apostle? I say, how did you have been Abuja? I said, how are we not going to know? Rain never passes. So I say, eh. But he can be with some people and they never know that he has that grace. So you must learn to discern human bodies. Listen, as we pray, look at how God does it. You are praying about something for a long time, and the only thing you are hearing from heaven as a response is the face of a person. Every time you pray about that thing, you are seeing the face of a person. What do you think God is telling you? Idol worship? No. God is saying, this thing you are looking for, this person has it as a grace. Connect to them. And it's not only men of God that carry grace. There are mothers with grace. I've seen women that have grace to give birth peacefully. That Hebrew women, yes, in reality. Then the ones that from the day they got pregnant, pain here. Another one. In fact, they say, be on bed rest for 1 month. You are lying on the bed so that the baby will not fall out. Madam, don't kill yourself. Go and look for a woman that had it easy. There's a grace that sponsored it. You are still a child of God. God still loves you. You have the Holy Ghost, but you don't have that grace. Go and meet her and collect grace. You are looking for a very beautiful child, Abby. Wonderful. And you know that you and your husband are fearfully made. You know that it's only by a miracle you will get. After this service, go and sow a seed to Minister Sampilo's life. It's a simple thing. Listen, brothers and sisters. I will not kill myself to obtain from God what he has already given a man. In fact, God makes it easy when he has given a man. All you need to do is have the heart that is open to receive. Acknowledge that they have it. And listen, let me tell you. Learn to discern a man from his anointing. Learn to discern a man from his grace. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They can act stupidly now. It doesn't take away the fact that grace is there. Don't be fooled. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Don't be fooled by their humanity. You'll be carried away. In fact, God will look for weaknesses and put grace more. So that he can compel humility in a generation. The race is not for the swift. Neither the battle for the strong. Nor riches for the wise. It is not of him that willeth, nor him that runneth. It is of God that shows mercy. There are people God has shown them mercy. He has lavished some graces on them and left them. The more you gossip them, the more he increases them. So stop the gossip and make peace with them. You know what God told Laban? He said, neither speak evil or good to Jacob. Yes, he's a deceiver, I know. Yes, he's a trickster, I know. Yes, he's a liar, I know. Yes, he stole away things from you. Yes, but he's the one I have a covenant with. Mind what you do to him. Abraham lied. God punished the king. She's my sister. And then God came to the king and said, you don't die already. You don't die. But waiting never come on your head is because there's Abraham there. Go and meet him to pray for you. Otherwise, by tomorrow, if your head is still on your body, the man said, God, I don't do anything. The man lies. He said, yes. God, do you realize that God shut off his lies? God, that's not encouraging lasciviousness. It's just showing what grace really is. God didn't give them because of anything.
He gave them because he loved them. He gave them because he mandated it. It's a man tool. He placed it on that person. He gave them because of intimacy. When you find somebody carrying the grace you need, just connect and collect it. In fact, the grace you receive from somebody, you can grow higher in that grace than the person. I feel it's time for us to pray. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. The God of all grace. The God of all grace. The one who is able to do exceeding abundantly, far above You're the God of everything. No one like you. No one like you. Jesus, no one like you. Hey! No one like you. Savior, no one like you. Rosoko tekeba. No one like you, Father, no one like you, Master. Hey, Kabaladas, you're the God of everything. No one like you. Open your mouth and talk to him tonight. Every grace that you need is available. Every grace that you need is available. To make demand on any grace that is needed in your life. Listen, part of the reasons why you need the grace of God is because it is for your completion, your edification. God completes you as he has grace. The Bible says in James 4:6, for he giveth more grace. You came so that you can receive more grace. Prosperity for some of you, healing for some of you. Some of you wisdom. Some of you need the grace of peace. Peace. I'm not just talking about peace because everything around you is okay. No. Peace in the midst of the storm. The ability to remain calm even when everything is running aground. It's called peace. You came to receive it tonight. Are you ready to pray? Open your mouth in the next 2 minutes. Cry like you have never cried before. Place a demand on the grace of God that you need. Father, as I step into the month of June, let it manifest. Let it be Open your mouth and cry for grace. Cry for grace. Businessman, pray. The God of all grace is here tonight. God is able to make all grace abound. He's able to make all grace abound. Stand to your feet, everybody. I'd like you to open your heart and your hands and get ready to receive. Something is going to shift in somebody's life. There's a woman here. Listen, you have something like a growth in your body. There's a woman here. You have something like a growth, and I'm seeing like you are behind. There's a woman with something like a growth in your body. I don't know why it's like you are. Come, please. There's a woman with us. God wants to terminate that. The God of all grace is able to make all grace abound. Any area where you struggle is an area where you need the grace of God. And that's why God brought you here to receive grace. True story, listen. Warfare for prayers for enlargement. We're doing that last year, I think. Was it last year or last 2 years? One of those days, I had a flu and my voice ceased. I could not broadcast. Couldn't do a broadcast. And so we couldn't do any broadcast that day. I spent the whole of that day in pain. My voice ceased completely. Then the next day, something happened. Listen to me. While I was on the bed, I heard the Spirit of God said, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long and that it may be well. I was sick, isn't it? Needed to be well. So I just took my phone. I called my dad. How are you, daddy? Blah, 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 blah. When we finished the talk, I said, daddy, do you need anything? Now, that's not to say once in a while. No, no, no. Okay, I by the grace of God. But this was by revelation. Long story short, he told me what he needed. I sent him x3 of the money. As soon as we dropped from the call, now I was whispering to him. As soon as I dropped the phone, my voice came out. Before the end of that day, the sore throat ceased. One of the ways God will shorten your distance is by bringing around you people with graces. Be careful when God makes you meet certain people at strategic seasons. It may be to collide with a grace that he has put in them. Jesus encountered Saul, but he told him, go into the city and you will be told what to do. God is going to give grace to someone. Please lift your hands. We are going to pray. All of these people, madam, come. The one with blue, yes, come. Let me pray specially for you. You have a growth? Where? Are you married? You have a growth, where? Huh? Okay. Do you believe in the power of God? Okay. Put your hand on your chest. All right? Father, I command this affliction by your power to disappear and never appear. And the Lord is showing me it's like something that comes again and again. It is recurrent. It has happened before. All right? Is that true, madam?
Yes, sir.
Is that true?
Yes, sir.
All right, look at me. Now, receive the touch of God in your body. Touch! In the name of Jesus. Listen to me. In 24 hours,
sir,
it will be completely gone.
Glory, thank you.
Are you hearing
Amen.
Me?
Amen.
I want you to come back next Sunday. Next Sunday's miracle service.
Yes, sir.
Come back and testify.
Amen.
In fact, the Holy Spirit just corrected me that as we close the service and you are going, it has disappeared.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
You believe that?
I believe it.
We'll come back next Sunday, miracle service. We'll take your testimony.
Amen.
Before we get into
Amen.
The service. All right?
Amen.
All of you.
Amen.
Please lift your hands. From today, from tonight, that growth disappears, never to be traceable again in your system, in the name of Jesus. And I'm praying for everybody, anyone that has been fired an arrow of affliction. Lift your hands, everybody. Wherever that arrow of affliction came from, I command it to return back to where it came from. I return it back to where it came from. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please lift your hands. I want to pray. Now, God is showing me a group of people, mostly women, mostly ladies, but a group of people. As your hands are lifted, you are going to feel something in your stomach. That's an anointing that God is releasing on you. You are going to feel something powerful, a stirring in your stomach. And as I'm talking, it's already happening across this auditorium now. The hand of God is upon many people. That anointing is released upon you right now. Lift your hands and receive it. In the name of Jesus. When Emma was counting, you people were laughing. Now let me do the real count. At the count of three, that anointing will rest on these people I'm seeing. It's a new level that you are entering. Receive it by the grace of God. One! Two, three, touch. Help them there. Fresh from heaven. Fresh from heaven. Fresh from heaven. An unusual anointing. Father, I pray for your people in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm releasing right now for some people, as I'm seeing by the Spirit, there is a grace for miracles, a grace for the working of miracles. Lift your hands right now from the front to the back, the left to the right. I declare, let there be an impartation of that grace right now. You have fasted for it. You have prayed for it. You are believing God for it. Right now, by the unction of the Spirit, step into that grace. Step into that grace. Step into that grace. Step into that grace. Receive it right now. You see, that's the power of God. Anybody that is into music ministry here, I release upon you the grace for new sounds. Like a wind. Like a wind, a grace for new prophetic sounds. Whether you are a musician here or in your church, wherever you have anything to do with music and the music ministry, from today, the grace for fresh prophetic sounds from heaven. Receive it right now. Receive it right now. Receive it right now. In the name of Jesus, receive it right now. Receive it right now. I declare that your ears will be open to hear the sounds of heaven. Many of you, you will have visionary experiences. And you will see the songs and write them. For many of you, more than just songs, you will have visions and dreams. And God will download ideas to you. He will show you a business plan. He will show you a strategy. Lift your hands and receive it by the Spirit of Revelation. Let it rest upon you right now. as I wave my hands across this hall, let it rest on you right now. Let it rest on you that are watching at home. Let it rest on you at the viewing center. The spirit of revelation rests upon you right now. Let your eyes be open. Let your eyes be open. Eyes open now. In the name of Jesus. We give you glory, Lord, as we honor you. We give you glory, Lord. Activations are happening right now. Activations are happening. There are many of you, please, eyes closed everywhere. As I'm speaking now, let the power of God and the angel for performance begin to move. There are many of you that have giftings and graces lying dormant in your mind, in your spirit. Mantles that you have not used. Some of you, there are mantles that belong to your family. In fact, there's a person I'm seeing now. There's a mantle that you are supposed to carry, a transgenerational mantle. The last person that had it was an uncle, but the person is dead. But right now it is resting upon you. Anything that God has deposited in you that has been lying dormant, has never been used, I activate it right now. 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 Strange abilities will begin to manifest from today. Ah! That lady that I used for an example, that one there, that followed, look at me. That one, point her now, touch her. Just look at me from there, lift your hands. There's something I'm seeing on your head like fire. Receive it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Help her there. I've been seeing something like fire burning on her head. Ah! It's a strange prophetic anointing, and I'm seeing it on seven other people. It's coming on seven other people. Lift your hands. Is a strange prophetic anointing for supernatural encounters. It's coming on seven other people. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it right now. Touch in the name of Jesus. Even as we move from, as we move into the month of June, and the Lord has spoken that June till September, we are going to walk under open heavens and a new anointing. I pray for you where you stand and where you are watching me right now. You will become a partaker of that anointing. It will affect every aspect of your life. For some of you, it will increase the anointings that are resident on your life. It will increase the giftings that are on your life. Those are activations. Those are activations going. God is activating things. He's distributing giftings. I see an intercessor's mantle coming on five people, and it looks like fire. The mantle looks like a flame. It's a cloth, but it's like fire. It looks like a flame. It's an intercessor's mantle, and it's coming on five people. Holy Ghost, find those five people right now by your power. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wave your hands and give Jesus praise. No man on earth should give glory to himself. All the glory must be to the Lord. Because of time, we'll have to stop here. We'll leave all the other ones for next Sunday. But there are strange operations of the Spirit that will begin to happen in your life from today. Some of you, God has planted a new kind of spiritual hunger in you. You will go and begin to fast, pray, study the word. You are a new kind of appetite has been developed in you. You know, when I said a new kind of hunger, I saw God planting the hunger for prayers on somebody at the back. And how you know is that the person will come down under the power right now. It's a strong and to help them. I saw that thing planted. Many of you, in the days ahead, your appetites will change. It's a sign that a new anointing has come. When a woman becomes pregnant, her appetite begins to change because of what she's carrying. When God changes your spiritual appetite and makes you hunger for certain things more, it is because you are already pregnant for a next season. Take a hayala makusia mama. Marando brosa palagaradaba. Maliba sanda la bagaya laba. Thank you, Lord. Some of you will begin to have angelic encounters from next month. From next month. You will see them as human beings. Physically. You will see them in your dreams as human beings. You will hear their voices. You will feel their presence. Even now as I'm talking, some of you are feeling their presence. You are feeling their presence around you. It's going to be a season of angelic visitation. Just help those people there. Father, we give you the praise and the glory. Thank you for a release of grace. Grace upon grace upon your children. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.